I grew up an Old Baptist. Dad was an Old Baptist minister. My uncle was an Old Baptist minister, and his son, Old Baptist minister, and my brother's an Old Baptist minister. And I remember when I was much younger, my uncle would come before the congregation, and now I'm a young guy, I'm a teenager, okay? And he would say, "Boy, you're such a good-looking congregation." I turned and looked, and boy, there's some ugly folks in here, you know. And I grew up, and I know what my uncle meant. What a beautiful congregation you are. Things come with maturity, and you can see things for their beauty. Not just the outward, but the inward. And I heard something very beautiful tonight in your song service. That's an opportunity for each and every one of us, whether we preach or not, to actively engage in the worship service. Whether you know it or not, our Heavenly Father is worthy of all the praise that we can offer. He's not concerned with how well you can sing. Let me go ahead and tell you, I don't have anything against those who sing well, who can sing by note. But I'd much rather have a person who sings from the heart. I just believe the Lord hears when you sing from the heart. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken tonight, that's what we attempted to do. Sing from our heart. A heart of praise and thanksgiving for the Father and His mercy and His grace. Let's call your attention this evening just for a little while to one of the most familiar passages in the Bible. No, it's not John 3:16. It is Psalm 23. I don't like to read a whole lot because I don't like to insult anybody's intelligence. And if you read a lot to me, you're insulting my intelligence. I learned to read a long time ago. Just the way I feel. That's my opinion, okay? But I want to read the entire 23rd Psalm. Not but six verses. I probably don't have to read it. You can probably quote it. But it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Boy, what a blessing that is right there. I could stop right there. If the Lord would bless, I could preach right there. That the Lord is my shepherd. By the way, this psalm is a credit to David, who was a shepherd by trade. So David knew a little bit about what he was talking about when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He knew what it was like to be a shepherd himself and to lay his life down for the sheep. He knew what it was like to protect his sheep and provide for his sheep, which the Lord so graciously and merciful does to each and every one of us. You know, the psalmist David penned, "I was once young, and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." David understood where his provision came from. And we live in a land of excess, by the way. I got picked at tonight to hurry up and get in line because the food was running out. First of all, you look at me and tell I probably don't need to eat anyway. Missing a meal wouldn't hurt me a lick. But if you were there at the table, you know there's plenty to spare. That's never been a concern of mine in Old Baptist Church, is running out of food. Never been a concern. So David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And listen to this, "and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Is there a better place to dwell than in the house of the Lord? If the Lord would bless just for a little while this evening. And I'm so humbled. That's your hospitality. I'm not deserving of your graciousness. I heard a preacher say one time, if you knew everything about me, you wouldn't want to preach me. But he also said, if I knew everything about you, I would know what to preach. I am thankful for a merciful, a loving, and a caring God who loves me in spite of my faults and my failures, who never withdraws his love from me. He doesn't disown me, but loves me even when I'm one of those stray sheep, one that goes astray. And by the way, you say, Brother Ricky, I've never gone astray. Well, you need to read your word a little more. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's times we stray away from the Father. But there's something very interesting here I'd like to bring to your attention. It's found in verse 4. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Friends, what limited English I have, I believe he's being very clear to tell you there's two different instruments that's being talked about here, because he says, thy rod and thy staff. If the rod and staff was one instrument, I believe he said thy rod and staff. But he says thy rod and thy staff. I have been studying quite a while Psalm 23. I've been reading about the life of a shepherd and what a shepherd goes through. And he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff both comfort me. Now, if you do any studying of sheep whatsoever, you realize that a sheep must be led. A sheep is not beaten into submission. They are led. Now, I believe there's times that a shepherd does use the rod for correction. I believe our Heavenly Father corrects us. The Lord chastens those that he loves. What the Bible says. And the Bible says that if you be without chastisement, then are you bastards and not sons. I don't know about you, but I've been chastised of the Lord, and that does bring me comfort. That comforts me when I've been chastised of the Lord. It's not fun when it happens, friends. I can go ahead and tell you. I never got a whooping by my dad and turned around and said, boy, thanks a lot. I like that. Let's do it again. As a matter of fact, the last time my dad ever whooped me. Now, if you don't understand Mississippi language, I might have to explain it to you. There's a whipping and a whooping. Do you know the difference? Okay. They're the same thing, other than just different degrees. A whooping gets your attention. Okay? Last time I got a whooping, when my dad finally finished, I turned around and said, Dad, you will never whip me no more. He said, son, you getting smart with me? I said, no, sir, I'm telling you the truth. Lord, I ain't going to do anything to get this. You've got my attention, brother. Dad, you got it. You've taught me a lesson. I learned it. I wonder sometimes why we don't learn lessons in this life. I really do. I read the Bible, and I read where, you know, some of these men of the Bible, women of the Bible were blessed to see things, and just like Peter, he denied that he already knew the Lord. And what was he blessed to see? How could he do that? But then what do? I mean, you think about John the Baptist. John not only touched Jesus Christ, he heard the audible voice of God, and he saw the Spirit descend like a dove, but you remember he was cast into prison, and you remember what he told his disciples, go ask Jesus, art thou he, or should we look for another? By the way, don't look down on them, because we do the exact same thing. You may not, but I do. How's that sound? Is that a little more digestible to you? I'll take claim for it. I do the same thing. Sometimes my faith is weak. But let me tell you, the Lord chastens those that he loves. Let me tell you, I think there's something that's more comforting to that about this rod. If you know anything about a sheep, a shepherd, at nighttime, he would bring his sheep into what they called a sheepfold or a sheepcote. It was a wall structure with a gate. And these shepherds would bring these sheep into that sheepfold for protection from enemies at night. And the shepherd would stand at the gate, and he'd have this rod, and he would hold this rod out. And as each sheep would pass under that rod, he would number that sheep. You say, Brother Ricky, how does that apply to me? Friends, if you're one of his sheep, you are numbered. He knows you. In John chapter 10, he says, I know my sheep. You're numbered. You're one of his. You belong to him. And when you go astray, my friend, you remember the parable of the one who lost the sheep? How do you think he knew that he lost it? Hello? I mean, you got children? Do you count them? You get in the car and say, ho, one, two, three. Oh, we got them all. Let's go. I pick up my brother. My brother's a basketball coach. The other basketball coach got on the bus. He counted all the players, got everybody there. He left. But guess who wasn't on the bus? My brother. I said, yeah, you see how important you are. The coach forgets his assistant coach. But see, they numbered those students. He knew how many players he's supposed to have on that bus, and he had every one of them there. Well, the Lord knows his sheep. He knows them. In Leviticus chapter 27, Leviticus chapter 27, verse 32. And if I can get to the right page, I promise you it's there. Here's what it says. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Well, let me ask you a question. How do you know if you got a tenth? How do you know? To give a tenth of anything, what do you have to have? You have to have a total. That shepherd would count those sheep as they would come in. And if one was missing, you know what he'd go do? He would go look for that lost sheep. He wouldn't say, well, we'll just count our losses. We'll just cut our losses and keep trucking. No, he went to find that sheep, my friends. And the Lord has counted his sheep. And if you're one of his, you are in that number. And you understand, you're not going to ever be out of that number. I don't know about you, but that brings me much comfort to know that no matter how much I mess up in this life, and let me go ahead and tell you something, friends. Just because you believe in grace, and I've had this conversation so many times, it gets old. I get tired of some of the same old conversations. People ask me what I believe. I tell them I believe in salvation by grace. It's by God and God alone. And they say, well, you know, if I believe like you, I'd go out and just have my fill of sin. Let me tell you, I've had my fill of sin. But, you know, Paul had to address that, Brother Ronald. He said, shall I sin that grace may abound? And he answered his own question. I like that, by the way. I like somebody to answer his own question. Don't leave it with me to answer. He says, God forbid. God forbid. I don't sin just that grace may abound. No, indeed. But he knows his sheep. They're numbered, my friends. Turn, if you will, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33, and I believe it's verse 13. Jeremiah 33, verse 13. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, and in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem and in the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. There he is numbering them, my friends. He knows that number. That's a comforting thought, that the Lord knows his sheep. And when he comes back to claim them and take his sheep home, he's not going to be wondering where they are. He knows where they are. Friends, let me tell you, he's got one of his sheep that's buried in a place that no man knows. God knows where he is. God knows where he is. And I think so often, we've had some great conversation with Brother Ronald and Sister Karen and Brother Ronnie. And by the way, we did much better letting each other talk today, okay? We're all talking at one time. I got harassed about that last night. I mean harassed. You know, that I threw everybody under the bus. I don't like to throw everybody under the bus. And I was trying to help my brother last night, and he harassed me about that. When he said his wife moved in, I just wanted you to be clear that he got married first. That's all I wanted. When he come back there, I said, "Brother, you did get married first, didn't you?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Well, what you said may have had some folks there thinking, I got harassed about that." So. But the Lord knows his sheep. And when he comes to claim his sheep, he's going to take every single one of them home. In Matthew, it says he's going to separate his sheep from the goats. Will you amen that? That's what the scripture says. I believe that. You know, I read a bumper sticker one time that said, "The Lord said it. I believe it." That settles it. I got a little better version. "Lord said it." Whether I believe it or not, it still settles it. I should believe it. I should believe it. Absolutely. I should believe it. But the Lord knows each one. And that brings comfort to me. He knows his sheep that have never heard the gospel preached. Brother Ricky, you believe there's going to be people in heaven that's never heard the gospel? Amen. You believe there's going to be people of every kindred in heaven? Amen. Is there going to be people of every people in heaven? Amen. Every tongue? And by the way, in case you don't know, there's a lot of different tongues right here in the United States. We may speak English, but let me tell you, we speak different English than they do out in California. Okay? And I'm not picking on Brother Larry, it's a bunch, okay? My youngest daughter went with me out last April, not April of this year, but 18, went out to Lindsay, California. My youngest daughter, you have to know her, she's a hoot. We're in the airport at LAX, and our flight is delayed. And she looks at me, and you have to know her. She says, "Dad, you know the difference between California Primitive Baptist and Mississippi Primitive Baptist?" And man, about a gazillion things got going through my mind. What does my daughter come up with? She said, "Dad, they enunciate. They speak clearly." She said, "Dad, we put 5 or 6 words together. Did you get it? Did you get it?" I'll probably use it over in Georgia, don't you? I learned today that I'm really a Georgian. What I learned from Brother Ronnie. He's a history machine, huh? He said Mississippi used to be Georgia. I've been struggling with that all day. I did see where on CNN that Mississippi's moved over to Alabama. Did y'all see that? I'm not kidding you. Did y'all see that? On the map, they had Alabama, they had Mississippi written across it. And Georgia, they were showing where the hurricane was going. A friend of mine from Texas asked if I moved. The Lord, enough foolish. The Lord knows them that are his. He knows his sheep. And they follow him. They follow him, my friends. Oh, they don't follow him in discipleship. There are many of the Lord's sheep who don't follow him in discipleship. And let me tell you, that's my biggest concern as a minister. Do you know why? Because you are forfeiting some of the blessings that you can have here in this life. I said last night, I was when I was young, I was made to go to church. And my cousin used to ask me to stay home and ride motorcycles with him on Sunday. And of course, I would ask my mom and dad. I knew the answer. Yeah. I knew the answer already, but still ask him anyway. And I would tell my cousin, I can't stay with you. I have to go to church. Let me tell you, I got a better story than that. I get to go to church. I get to go up. I get to go up to the house of the Lord, my friends. And when you go into the house of the Lord, you're always going up. You're never going down like Jonah, my friend. You're always going up. In John chapter 17, which Brother Ronnie alluded to last night, and I agree wholeheartedly with what Brother Ronnie said last night, that's the model of prayer, our Father which art in heaven. The Lord's Prayer is found in John chapter 17. And you want to know how many people are going to be in heaven? I can tell you. I can tell you exactly how many are going to be in heaven. Y'all say, oh, we got a smart Mississippi, and didn't know they existed. Here's what it says. Verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. You know how many sheep he's got? Every one the Father gave him. Every single one, my friends. And you know what? I didn't come up here to tell you that you're going to get left behind. Because you're not. I'm not here to scare you. My dad, Elder Wayne Myers, said often, son, if I can scare you into doing something, I can scare you out of it. I'm not here to tell you, to scare you. Isaiah 40, verse 1, does not say, scare ye my people. It says, comfort ye my people. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. How has it been accomplished? Jesus Christ, my friends, he died for his sheep on the cross. He didn't guess who he was dying for. He knew who he was dying for, my friends. He knew who he gave his life for. I give my life for the sheep, is what he said. I lay down my life for the sheep. And let me tell you, friends, he laid it down. And he laid it down voluntarily, my friends. He was not shocked when they took him to Golgotha, my friends. They knew. Jesus knew that was his end. Oh, friend, he knows his sheep. You're numbered in that sheep. That brings great comfort to me. And I'm going to close quickly here. I want to hear Brother Ronnie preach. He says, thy staff. I know I spent too much time there to really go here where I want to go with thy staff. But the staff to me, the rod is just a straight stick. It's like Moses had. Staff is what we think when we see a shepherd has the curved end. You know what it was for? It was for gently leading the sheep. It was for reaching and grabbing them and pulling them gently back to where they needed to be. The Lord doesn't take his stick and beat you over the head. He gently leads you back to his fold. What a loving Savior we have. What a loving God we have who loves us so much. I don't know if Brother Ronnie said it last night in his preaching or it's been said during our conversation. Because we've talked quite a bit about different things. But you know, when we come to the house of the Lord, we ought to give our best. You know why? God gave his very best. He gave his son. I don't have a son, Brother Dole. But I can't imagine if I had a son, sending my son to come into this world, to do what he did, to have everything that was done to him, to be mocked and cursed and spat upon. You know how degrading getting spat upon is? You know what it meant in Old Testament times? It meant we want your name out of whatever you're a citizen of. Your name is taken off, what's it called? The census is taken off. That's what's spitting in the face. You remember they had the kinsman redeemer, and if a guy were not to do it, he would take his shoes off and they would spit in his face. Our Lord had those who spit in his face. He had those who cursed him and mocked him and plucked his hair out of his beard and blindfolded and slapped him and said, if you're so great, tell us who slapped you. And they had him when he was on the cross, said, if you're so great, you get yourself down. And you know what, friends, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it one more time. The Lord could have, but he couldn't have. Somebody, brother, we got to make a lick of sense. Maybe I'll explain a little bit, it will. The Lord had the power to do so. But he had made a covenant with his Father that he would go to that cross and he would die. See, David understood about being a shepherd. He knew that the rod, he was numbered. And David had some gross sins, my friends. But David still says, the Lord is my shepherd. David understood. David was a man after God's own heart, but yet, he fell so short. He knew about that staff, how you gently lead a sheep back. I told Brother Ronald, Brother Ronnie, I felt called to the ministry when I was 14 years old. And I was ordained when I was 41. And I've been asked many times, Brother Ricky, what did you do for 27 years? Did you run? No. I had to be taken out to the desert like Moses. I told you last night, one of the first things I said is I don't want to offend anyone. When I was 25 years old, I could care less if I offended you or not. Just get over it. But I care. I have a heart of love. I love each and every one of you. And I love my Lord. One of the greatest compliments I believe you can ever get is when you're lying here at state and the minister does your funeral and he says, there's a person right there who is worn out in the service of the Lord. I don't know a greater thing you can do in this life than to serve the Lord and serve him with gladness. Serve him with gladness. Come to the church happy to be here. I don't know about you, I'm happy to be here. And I'm probably the furthest away from home than anybody here. My wife's not here, my girls aren't here. But I'm just happy to be here. I come here tonight with gladness in my heart and thanksgiving to the Lord that he can be here. There's a meeting going on in Fort Smith, Arkansas right now. The Lord's there too. The Lord is not, he's not like us. He's not limited, friends. And I sure pray he's in Monroe, North Carolina next weekend. I have plans of being at the Bear Creek Association for my first time. I thank you so much for your kind order and attention. And remember, that rod ought to comfort you, and the staff should too. May the Lord bless you.